Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here, and I'm glad to see everybody here on this special Sunday. And may peace be with you, because God loves you. And we are in a season called Advent. Do you know what Advent means? It means coming. In Latin, it means coming. Today, I want to talk to you about, are you ready for Christmas? And we're going to study the first chapter of Luke. If you have a Bible or your digital Bible, you know, or you can follow along on the screen. We are in the season called Advent, which starts 4 weeks before the Christmas. And what is Advent? As I mentioned, in Latin, it means coming, arriving. So Advent is a season of time. It's being observed in many churches as a time of expectancy, expecting, waiting and preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus the Christ. So Advent is about preparation. And sometimes we forget, God is very much in preparation. Consider, before God sent his Son into the world, God saw it fit that the way was prepared. How? Now, Jesus arrived only after 400 years of silence from God between the book of Malachi, the last book of Old Testament, and the first book of New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. There was 400 years of silence, preparation. And Jesus arrived only after the number of people were visited by angel Gabriel. That was preparation. And God even saw it fit to prepare the way for the Son of God by sending a man named John the Baptist, okay, to call people to repentance. So God is very much in preparation. Now this morning, we're going to study the first chapter of Luke. And Luke is the gospel writer who focuses most of the time in preparation. So if you wonder why that is, maybe because Luke was a doctor. He was a physician. And we all know the amount of time that it takes to prepare a physician, a doctor, right? So maybe it has something to do with the purpose of his writing, because he tells us the purpose in the opening of the chapter, okay, of Luke. Here it said, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Verse 3. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you. Most excellent Theophilus, okay, so that you may know the certainty of the thing you have been taught. So Luke's purpose is that for a man named Theophilus, that he would know the exact truth about the things Theophilus had been taught about Jesus Christ. So Theophilus, who was he? He was probably a Gentile that had become a Christian. And Luke wanted him to get the straight truth. Dr. Luke himself was a Gentile who never seen Jesus, but he took the account of those who were eyewitnesses of Christ, and he investigated everything carefully, and under the leading of the Holy Spirit, he laid it out in logical order. It was a two-volume work. Volume 1 is the Gospel of Luke. Do you know what Volume 2 is? The Acts of the Apostles. So, in keeping with his purpose, Luke carefully lay out what happened before Christ was born. Now, it was all about getting ready for the birth of Christ. Okay? About getting ready for Christmas. So it was all about preparation for the coming of Christ. So I want to ask you this morning, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready to receive what God is offering this Christmas? Now, I don't mean do you have your trees up? Do you have you're done your shopping, or do you have your parties all lined up? No. I mean, are you really ready? Prepare for the arrival of God's begotten Son. Are you ready to receive what God is offering this Christmas? Now, you may wonder how we can do that. How do you really prepare for Christmas? Now, in the Gospel of Luke helps us here. He helps us by telling the story of an old Jewish priest and his wife. Now, we were introduced to this couple in chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. It says, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Now, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. That means very old. Now we see here that Zechariah was a priest and Elizabeth was a descendant of priests also. That's not all that unusual, because the priesthood at that time was divided up into 24 divisions in those days, and there were about 18,000 priests. And most of them work in small farms and were very poor. But given the times, this was a very unusual couple. Because why? Because Luke says they were upright. They were righteous in God's eyes. They kept the commandments. Now, this doesn't mean they were without sin, but unlike many priests of that day, they were example. They were very good example of genuine faith in Jehovah God. So the other thing Luke tells us that's very unusual about them is that they had no children. Elizabeth was barren. And the days of hoping for a child were long over because they were very old. Now this is important because in those days, to be barren without child is a sign of spiritual defect in a wife. Now, they didn't have a fertility specialist doctor back then, right? They simply believed God closed a woman's womb because God disliked the individual. So, in those days, a barren woman was a disgraced woman. Now, so it wasn't uncommon in those days for a husband to divorce his wife because of her supposed spiritual defect. And in fact, we may think about Elizabeth's situation. She was forced to walk through life with a sign hung around her neck saying, sinner or failure. Now you think you may not want to go to church because sometimes that's how she felt. Sinners, failures, disgrace. And now, though Zechariah did not have the quite same kind of problem to deal with, but he lived with the deep disappointment of having no child to carry on the family's name. For men, it was a disappointment, it was a tragedy, it was a disgrace also. Now, many of us may have something similar in our life, like this, something that we rightly or wrongly brings shame, disgrace. We feel like having no child, or feel like an empty womb. It could be something we have done in the past It could be addiction that we struggle every day. Maybe we've been divorced. Maybe we've been fired. Maybe we've been abandoned. We've been looked down upon. And one of these things can be like Elizabeth, like a sign hung around our neck for others to see. Or maybe you are like Zechariah. You've been struck by some kind of tragedy or disappointment in life that you could never have expected. Maybe like this couple, you are unable to have things that are precious, that are like children. Now you wonder if you ever be able to really enjoy life again. Just like last year and just recently, in separate occasions, two young women, pastor's wives, we call them Simo, I know, who've been serving on the staff of different alliance churches with their husbands up in the city, not too far from us. They were diagnosed with cancer. One Simo died last year. One is about to. The first one is with the Lord now, so it's much better off, but think about her husband, the pastor, trying to pick up the pieces. He resigned from the church. He was totally, totally just overwhelmed. And the Simo, who was at the last stage of her cancer, they were praying, but she feels ready. She has peace. But imagine the husband, that pastor. Life does that to us. It does that even to good people. People who are trying to follow the Lord. Christian and non-Christian, we face the same kind of challenges and tragedies, accidents in life. But the difference is Christmas means something different for them. So we see here Elizabeth and Zechariah, this old couple, were in need of a blessing. Now, then, as we move on, we can realize that at least for Zechariah, there was his work, the church work. Now Luke tells us in verses 8 to 10 that while Zechariah was doing his priestly service in Jerusalem, they cast lot in those days, and he was chosen to enter the holy place in the temple and offer incense. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for priests. So while he was inside the temple, the people would be outside the temple offering prayers, waiting for him to come out. Zechariah, the one who was chosen, would, when he was inside, he would offer incense on the altar, bow down to worship God. He would pray for the peoples and then leave. But on this day, the Zechariah did not come out for a long time. What happened? Look at verses 11 to 14. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of the incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." And then we pick it up in verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Okay. So God chose to bless Elizabeth and Zechariah in his timing. So through the announcement of Angel Gabriel, God announced his blessing in his timing. Now our tendency to read this is that Zechariah had a visit from an old friend, but this was an angel. Now, the scripture said it scared him to death. He was gripped with fear. Now, I don't know what that says about angel, but I can tell you, as the scripture describes, angels are not small, cute, chubby little flight wings creatures. They are huge. They are fearful. They are large. If you study the scripture, you realize angels are awesome creatures. Okay? They are to be afraid. And so, nevertheless, this angel come with good news. Elizabeth would give birth to a son whom you would call him, name him John. Okay? And he would bring joy not only to you, to this old couple, but to many others as well. And he will prepare the way for the coming Messiah. Now, I think we were struck by how the angels put this. The angel said, your prayer has been heard. What prayers? I didn't read any prayers by Zechariah in chapter 1. The angel must be talking about Zechariah's prayer for a son, which I can imagine at age 60, he stopped praying for that son for a long, long time. Now, I think we can bet that Zechariah and Elizabeth probably had forgotten their prayer. It's been so long ago. But God had not forgotten their prayer. But it did take God a long time to tell them why. Okay. Now, so they heard these blessings, this announcement through the angel, but they had prepared differently for this blessing. Because maybe Zechariah had in mind another prayer. As an upright, righteous man, Zechariah would have prayed for Messiah to come. So in verses 15 to 17, the angel said about John, you know, is make prepare a way for the coming Messiah. Okay. Now look at verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, okay, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. And my wife is well along of years, also old. Okay. Now that's a very, you know, discreet way of putting it. Meaning, angels, I need proof. I'm that old. How can I have child again? Now the angel's reaction. The angel didn't like that. Okay. Now, if the angel is scary, think about if the angel gets mad. Okay. So, if you read verse 19, the angel answer, "What? I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the days of this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at its proper time." The angel did not like it. That's what the text said. Now, Gabriel was a famous angel. Okay? He's well known to the Israelites, especially to Zechariah. So now you have not only a scary angel, but you have a mad angel. Okay? It's a famous, mad, scary angel. Okay? Don't you know who you're talking to? Don't you know where I've been hanging out? What kind of sign did you want? Then Angel Gabriel picked up his remote control and pushed the mute button. If you want a sign, I give you a sign. You're not able to speak until God's promises make good, you know. That's what happened. So Zechariah left the temple with nothing to say. He'd been mute. Couldn't speak. At that time, the people outside were wondering, what happened to Zechariah? Did he have a heart attack? Okay? So everybody were worried. And then Zechariah does come out. When he came out, people realized something happened because he could not speak. He became mute. And he started sign language. Now imagine, when you see Zechariah, what happened to him using sign language? Okay? He's done with his work. He cannot be a priest anymore. I mean, he could not perform the duty anymore. So he has to go home. Then, let's pick up the story in verses 23 to 25. Okay? What happened there now? When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and take away my disgrace among the people. Now we find this verse is very interesting because think about it. Zechariah, the husband, cannot speak. He returned his home in the hill countryside, a poor house of Judea. He met his wife there the first night. They're getting ready to bed. Zechariah has this look in his eyes. Elizabeth hasn't seen that look for a long time. She's thinking, oh, you got a PK. Then Zechariah used language, sign language, whatever, to communicate the intention, meaning that's what I was told, so that's how we spend the night. So Elizabeth was thinking, what? You know how old we are now? But anyway, then the scripture tell us, Elizabeth became pregnant. But interestingly, Elizabeth stayed in seclusion for 5 months. Now, we don't know why he did this, but maybe she was embarrassed, you know, a senior, old senior, carrying a child, you know, was pregnant, you know. And some may be saying she was afraid of losing the baby, but Luke doesn't tell us, but he does tell us to spend the time here, which is 23-25, thanking God, praising God. He was thinking and talking about, he was praying about how God had worked in her life to bless her, to take away the disgrace among men. Now, there was this couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They prepared differently for their blessing. Zechariah, a man who is upright, righteous, he's old, he's a priest, he knows God, he knows what it means to serve God. If there's ever a good guy, a real servant of God, it's this guy. But still, he has some area of growth, some growing to do, right? So God sends his angel Gabriel to him. God makes a marvelous promise to him. And what does he do? He doubts. He doubts God. He underestimates God. The angel said it. You did not believe my word. Okay? Now we don't always think that doubting, underestimating a sin, but it is. Underestimating God is as serious as rebellion against God. Look at the gospel. To think that make Jesus very frustrated all through the gospel was this lack of faith, right? So faith is not something that we should underestimate. Now, Zechariah is an example of an individual who has known the Lord for a long time. He goes to church, he gives his tithe, he leads a small group, he sings, he goes on mission, short-term mission trip, he prays over meals, he reads the Bible every day, he prays all the time, he does all the right thing in the right place, all the right way. But God come along and challenge him to a new level of faith that he's not ready. When I drive on the highway, I like to use my cruise control. But my cruise doesn't work in traffic on 401, on DVD. It doesn't work. Zechariah, I can imagine he was on a spiritual cruise all through many years of his life doing his duty before God. He can do all this work, you know, in his everyday with his eye closed. But God now chose to throw him into traffic. And he was not ready. He did not want to turn off his cruise control. On the other hand, think about Elizabeth. The difference. Throughout the Luke Gospel, we see how Luke highlights the faithfulness of women. Elizabeth responds to this blessing, this coming gift, is in very big contrast to that of her husband. Her husband is forced into silence. She chose solitude, meditation, waiting. Zechariah could not speak, but she can. She praises. When she speaks, she praises God. She speaks about God's grace, God's mercy for her, how God has taken away her shame and disgrace. She felt disgrace, but she now felt the bitterness is removed from her heart. She continued to serve God. She's more prepared, right? Now, this couple reminds us that really doesn't matter how long you have known God, or been coming to church, or how well you've been obeying God, or how faithfully you've been serving God, there's always room for growth, a new level of faith. And God is committed to stretching and growing our faith, our trust in Him, like Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, Zacharias was not prepared for Christmas because he did not believe God stepped into his life and answered long-forgotten prayers in supernatural, extraordinary way. Now, I think at this Christmas, oftentimes, as we approach this season, a lot of us may be secretly in our heart disappointed with God, but afraid to admit it. Like old Zechariah, we just go routine as what we usually do, supposed to do, never really believing God is at work in our life to bless us. So how about you? Do you believe that God is able to step into your life and bring you joy and blessings in areas there has been disgrace, disappointment, sadness, hurt? That's what the coming of Christ really means for each of us. Hope, new page, new life, new opportunities, new strength. So what Elizabeth said in verse 25 is true, because God sent his son. God's son looked at us with favor to take away our disgrace, disgrace of our sins, of our failures. But do we believe that? Now, we may believe God will do that for someone else, someone more successful, someone more prominent, someone more beautiful, someone who has a lot of things more, but not for us. You may think, God, you don't know, Pastor, you don't know what I've done, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know how hopeless, how sad, how bitter, how disappointed my situation is. Some of us maybe become cynical, discouraged by life, and no longer believe God is working for us and bless us. Now, if you are struck in the disbelief, if you are struck in that low level of faith, you're not ready for Christmas. But God has some interesting way of getting through to us. That's what he did to this old couple. Let me at the end share you a story from a book written by James Dobson. James Dobson, a Christian psychologist that care a lot about families. You know, he founded the Focus on the Family ministry. He shared a story of an elderly woman called Stella Thornburg. This woman was struggling with her first Christmas by being alone. Why? Because her husband had died just a few months ago, before Christmas, because of a long, slow developing cancer. Now, several days before Christmas, there was a heavy, slow, brutal, you know, and she was snowing, she stayed home, she felt terribly alone, so much she decided not to decorate for Christmas. Not to do anything, just sit there. But late that afternoon, the story went on, the doorbell rang. And there was this delivery boy with a box. And delivery boy said, "Mrs. Thornburg." She said, "She not? Yes, I am." And he said, "Would you sign here to receive this delivery?" And then this lady was kind. She invited him in and closed the door to get away from the cold and the snow, and she signed the paper and said, "What's in the box?" And this young boy laughed and opened it. And inside was a little puppy, a little dog, a golden retriever, very cute. And this boy picked up this puppy and explained to the lady, "This is for you, ma'am. 6 weeks old, completely need love." So this young puppy became very happy, and then and this lady was surprised. "Who sent this?" And the young man put the puppy down, gave her an envelope. It's all explained here in this envelope. The dog was bought last July while the mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift for you. The young man also handed her a book, How to Care for Your Dog, for your Labrador Retriever. So she asked again, "Who sent me this puppy?" This young man turned and leaves, "Your husband, ma'am. Merry Christmas." Oh, she opened the letter from her husband. Her husband had written the letter 3 weeks before he died and left it with that puppy owner to be delivered to her wife at this last Christmas gift to her. So the letter was full of love, full of encouragement, full of praises, full of trust, faith in God, and encouraged her to be strong. And then her husband also said, he's waiting for that day. She, his wife, would join him. And her husband also said, he has sent her this young puppy to keep her company until that day. Oh, Stella wiped away her tears. She was moved, put the letter down, hugged the puppy. She looked at the puppy, held her to her neck. And then she looked out the window, and the light of the neighbor's house, and she heard the radio music, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Now suddenly, this lady, Stella, felt the most amazing sense of peace, of peace over her. Her heart felt that joy and that wonder, much greater than grief, than loneliness. And then she talked to the little dog, "Just you and me. But you know what? There's a box down in the basement. I think you'll like it. We got a small Christmas tree, some decorations, some light. I think you'll like it. And there's a manger with baby Jesus down there. Let's go and get it." Now, reading this story just thrilled me that God has a way of sending a signal of hope, of help, of his presence, reminding us what? That life is stronger than death. Light is more powerful than darkness. God is more powerful than Satan, and good will overcome evil, and joy is stronger than disappointment. That's the message of Christmas. Because what Christ has accomplished as our Savior. The question is, are we prepared? Are we able to believe that God is acting for us in way we never could have imagined? That he would take away our shame, take away our disgrace, take away our disappointment, he'll wash our tears. So are you ready to receive what God is offering this Christmas? How do you prepare for Christmas? God is able to step into our lives and bring joy and blessings. He will cleanse our sins, he will remove our guilt, he will bring us a new page. He can give us the joy and the strength by His Spirit. But are we prepared to receive it? Are we ready and trust God and position ourselves to move ourselves to the new level of faith and trust? So be prepared. Be ready for the coming celebration and the birth of our Savior, Lord Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, what a wonderful, wonderful message you are sending to us this morning and to the world. At this season of Advent, help us. Help us to prepare. Help us in our heart. Forgive our disbelief. Forgive our lack of faith. Forgive our self-centeredness, focusing only on our pity. So we ask, Lord Jesus, come. Come into our world. Come into this world that's twisted, that's broken by sin. Come into our world that of fear, and come into this world of hate. We ask that you come with your strength, come with your power, come with your purity. Teach us how to follow you, how to trust you, how to love you. And we ask that you give courage to us, give vision to us, also to our leaders, that we all may know how to build peace and not strife, how to have freedom and not burdens. We pray for our young people. Inspire them, Lord, to be clean, to be hopeful, to be strong, that they may be strong servants of God for tomorrow. In this season of Advent, Lord, we also lay before you our hopes and dreams. Show us how to choose gentleness over brutality. Help us to speak love more than hate. Help us to speak faith, hope, and love, and follow the path that leads to life everlasting instead of temporary pressure. Oh Lord Jesus, please come. Renew the Holy Spirit in each of us as we wait before you. Give us joy and desire to trust you and to love our brothers and sisters. And let the truth of your incarnation fill our soul and mind once more as we prepare, as we wait upon what you will do and can do in our lives, among us, in our midst, in this church, in our families, among our friends. Hear our prayers, we pray. In Christ's precious name, amen. As now we come to celebrate